Oh, you have to push it twice. It's just, you have to push record twice. Not just once like I did last week. You have to press it twice. Okay. So as we look at John chapter 14, verse 6 is a precious, precious verse. I thought last night, while everybody else was asleep and I was watching over lives and property in a, well, at Highland and Waterman, you can imagine that at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. So, meditating on Jesus being the way and the truth and the life. So, John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. One of the great things about true Christianity that we see over and over again in the Bible is the way is not a set of rules. It is a person. The truth is not a set of precepts, as it were, but as it is, a person. And the life is not something you earn by being good enough. Once again, it is a person. He who has the Son has life. It is about a personal relationship with the true and living God, and His name is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know the early Christians, even in Paul's day, were called people of the way? We were people that had found the way to heaven. And that way to heaven, again, was the person and work of Christ. You know, in spite of all the religious diversity and all the political correctness run amok in America, God's Word still proclaims the truth that runs opposite to the mantras of religious tolerance and religious liberalism. And John 14:6 is a verse that only the wicked hate, and the religious modernist and the religious liberals and the religious pluralist, they hate just as much as the wicked. They hate John 14:6 as well. Because you see, they like to say, well, as long as a Mormon is a sincere Mormon, as long as a Buddhist is a moral Buddhist, as long as a Muslim is a peaceful Muslim, all these paths lead to God. There's only one God, and He's the Father of us all. And you'll find this teaching throughout so-called Christian universities and college all across America. Where we lived in Lafayette, Oregon for 20 years, they had a big university in just a town over about 10 miles away. Maybe you've heard of George Fox University, I don't know. He was the founder of the Quakers, the Quaker movement here in the United States, and he had come out here to the West, and they founded a university. And every Wednesday they had a chapel service, which they made, you know, kind of like extra credit if you wanted to go to it, but you didn't really have to go to it. And can you believe that the most scriptural person they ever had in their chapel service was a lady named Kay Arthur. God bless Kay Arthur. She gets people to study the Bible. She likes to teach women's groups and so on like that. But when you have people like Mark Knoll and Tony Campolo, who are basically communists and believe in homosexual marriage and abortion rights and all these other things that to me that abortion is murder, communism is socialistic, stealing away our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, stealing away our freedoms, making government God instead of Jesus Lord. And you don't get me started down the road of all this other stuff, but those were the most politically correct, liberal, socialist, so-called Christian preachers and so on. They hate this verse as well, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means even Baptists, you don't get to the Father through the baptismal tank. You don't get to the Father through tithing. You don't get to the Father because you have the KJV 1611 version of the Bible. It's Jesus and Him alone. Now, sometime I'd like to see one of these preachers, Franklin Graham comes closest to it lately, and Albert Mohler when they finally let him on every once in a while, that will just tell people the truth. It's Jesus or hell. You have Christ or you have death forever. He is the life. He's the way. He's the truth. And so, modern religionists here in America, they hate this verse just as much as the wicked do. Do you realize the true gospel of the scripture is both exclusive and inclusive at the same time? You must come to Jesus alone for salvation. It's exclusive of any other way. There's no other way. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done for you, in your place as a sacrifice, a substitute for you. In your place, suffering for your sins, dying for your sins, rising again from the dead. It's His work. It's who He is, what He's done for you. That's exclusive. But it's inclusive in that Jesus says, and if I be lifted up, all the world shall be drawn unto me. In other words, whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is exclusive in the fact that it's Christ alone who saves. But it is inclusive to anyone who will come to Christ. No matter what color you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter who your parents were, no matter what language you speak. No matter how old you are, come and welcome to Jesus Christ. If you come to Him as the only door, if you come to Him as the bread of life, as you come to Him as the true and only Savior from your sins, welcome. But there's no other way. It is an exclusive way and yet the most inclusive as well at the same time. God's word boldly proclaims salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, to God's glory alone. Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Again, the Bible says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Again, the Bible says, he who believes the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not have the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. These verses are very, very clear. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, not the Pope, not Billy Graham, not anybody, comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So Jesus is the way. He himself is the only way to know God. He alone is the way for you to become the object of God's love. Do you realize there's people that know about God? There's people that know things that God has made. But you cannot personally know God intimately in your heart, in your spirit, in your life, until you know Christ is your Savior. So a lot of seminaries, I like to call them cemeteries, a lot of professors know about God, but do not know God. You see, that's a big difference. I don't even want to go there in that other biblical sense of knowing in the intimate way, but there's no way you can know God from the heart and the spirit. In the most intimate part of your being, until you know him in Christ. And then Jesus alone is the way for you to become the object of God's love. People think, God loves everybody. He loves us all just the same. And he's up there just crying and praying that you'll receive him as your Savior. That's nowhere in the scripture. So God is trying to save you. He's trying to reach out to you, but you won't respond. Where does the Bible say that? God is not trying to do anything. He's doing as he wills in the heaven and the earth. He's sovereign over all. He's not weeping and crying that one more sinner will get saved. He's reaching down to touch that sinner in the heart where it hurts over their sins, to make them sick of sins, to make them afraid of going to hell, to make them look for a Savior. The true and only Savior. The way, the truth, and the life. He's saving whom he wills, when he wills, where he wills, as he wills. But they must all come through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Jesus is the way for you to become the object of God's love. Jesus is alone is the way to be with God forever. Say, I want to be with God forever. Look at all he's done. Look at how wonderful he is. Look how blessed I am. He let me be born into America and all these blessings that could come with that. I just love God. He's been so good to me. I want to be with him forever. Well, then you've got to come to Christ. Because without Jesus, you'll be separated from God forever. He's the only way to be with God. He's the only way to God for any sinner and every sinner. Christ is the only way to God's forgiveness for all your sin. You know, when the Lord saved me, it was after putting me through 2 years of excruciating, I'm serious, conviction of sin. I went to bed every night afraid I was going to die. Because if I died, I would go to hell. And so I would say that little prayer that I heard as a little boy. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I thought there was magic in that prayer that if I died in my sleep. Yeah, by the way, have you ever heard that saying? If you're falling in your dream, wake up before you hit the ground because you'll die in your sleep. I've hit the ground so many times now, it's crazy. I always, you know, the thing is that Christ and not a prayer, Christ and not a religion, Christ and not a church, Christ and not any good thing you can do or bad thing you don't do is the only way to heaven. But I was under such conviction of sin that when I was at the table with my grandmother or somebody else in our family who went to church, I literally started trembling in front of them. I would have to hide my hands under the table. I was shaking because I was afraid that they could look right through me and see how big of a sinner I was and that I was going to hell. Now, that's a terrible conviction of sin. George Whitefield went through that experience. John Bunyan went through that experience to where they were so afraid of dying. They were under such heavy conviction of sin that they could barely, how would you say, barely function at times. Christ is the only way to God's forgiveness for all your sin. The only way your sin could be put away is if it was laid upon Jesus and He washed it away in His sinless blood. If there were any other way to God in His forgiveness, don't you think God would have done that instead of sending His Son? I was talking to a Mormon one night, and he said this and that, Heavenly Father, all the key words. They keep saying Heavenly Father all the time, you know. And I picked up that he was a Mormon. I said, listen, look at this road in front of us. I said, if we could take this road, being a good Mormon, being a good Christian, doing good, being nice to others, being sincere, helping everybody we can, not lying, always telling the truth, not stealing but giving. If we could take this road and go to heaven, I said, why did God send His Son? Why did God allow His Son to suffer so much? Why would He send His Son from heaven if we could be good, take this road, get to heaven? Why would God send His Son? He said, oh man, that's a really good question. Maybe to be an example. I said, an example of what? Suffering? Death? Blasphemies hurled against Him? I said, why would God allow His Son to suffer so much if there was any other way to heaven? I said, there is no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ alone can set you free from the dread, despair of your sins, from the sickness of your sins. Allah cannot save anyone, for Allah is a false God. And if He were a person that ever walked in this earth, which He's not, He's the male deity or the moon god, why you see the crescent moon and stuff, and why the Muslims are getting ready to have Ramadan again. And while the moon is up, they can eat, but when the sun is up, they can't eat. See, it's a false God. Do you know nowhere in the Quran, one of the things we'll look at in Sunday school, but nowhere in the Quran does it say that God has mercy? Nowhere in the Quran is there forgiveness for your sins? It never points to it. Never says, Allah the Merciful. Never says, forgive me, for I have sinned. Because there's no mercy in Islam. Buddha cannot save anybody. He's in hell. Krishna cannot save anyone. He's in hell. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young can't save anybody. They're both in hell. Amen. Muhammad is in hell. Ellen G. White, who founded Seventh-day Adventism, is in hell. And was something that's happened that just since Philip and Ellen went to the Philippines and now are back. Scientology has its own TV channel now. L. Ron Hubbard is dead and in hell, and Scientology is a religion from hell. But they're out there promoting everything with ads all over the TV now. May God damn that channel. And may God damn everyone who promotes it. You say, where do you get that from, Alan? From the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 1, he said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which is from God's word, let him be damned to hell. That was what the word accursed means. Let him be accursed. Let him be damned to eternity away from God. How precious is the gospel to you? Paul said, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and tries to share any other gospel with you, let them be cut off from God. They're poisoning your soul and trying to take you to hell. For there's only one way, one truth, and one life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Amen. Amen. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Let them be damned to hell. Let that channel be damned to hell. L. Ron Hubbard is in hell. And everyone who is a devoted follower of his will go to hell too. If John Travolta remains a Scientologist, he's going to hell. If Tom Cruise remains a Scientologist, he's going to hell. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And thank God he's also the open way. If you come to God by Jesus, you're always welcome. Whosoever wills to have Christ Jesus may have him for the taking. He's as close as the mention of his name. All are not only invited, but commanded by God to believe on his Son. God commands all men everywhere to repent, the Bible says. In any other religion, you must be in a certain caste, you must be of a certain blood, you must be from a certain country, you must speak a certain language, you must have a certain amount of rules to be in that club. But in Christ Jesus, all are welcome, all are invited, and all who come to him to be their Savior and Lord, their only way, their only hope for heaven, they will be saved. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Amen. Amen. But all who don't. Oh, the Japanese will be polite to you. You ever heard a missionary to Japan come to you and say one of the hardest things for them to do is break through that politeness and get them to realize, you know, the Japanese, just to make you happy or just to be polite, they'll accept Jesus as their Savior. But they add him to a list of their ancestors, their Taoism, their other things that they're depending on to take care of their soul. You know, Roman Catholics might go ahead and say, yeah, I'll pray to Jesus with you. But they'll add him to the Eucharist, to praying to Mary, to lighting candles. Don't you see that he is exclusive? There is no one you can add to him. There is nothing you can add to him. You can say, I trust Jesus and the Ten Commandments. Where does it say the Ten Commandments are a way to heaven? Where does it say the Ten Commandments are the truth about God? Oh, they reveal truths about God, but they are not the truth of God. When is the Ten Commandments called the way of life? It's called the ministry of death. Condemnation. Punishment. Jesus alone is the way of life. And all are invited and welcome to him if they'll come to him exclusive. You know what? When I came to Jesus, I was a Seventh-day Adventist religiously. When he brought me to himself, I had to give up my religion and embrace Christ alone. How about you? You know, you might even be able to convince a Jehovah's Witness to pray a prayer with you. But unless they're willing to leave their false religion and embrace Christ alone as their hope for heaven, they're not saved. Just because you pray a prayer doesn't make you, you know, just because you go to a certain China church. I can go into your garage, but that doesn't make me an automobile. Amen? Jesus is also the truth, and I have to hurry on now. I've spent a long time on Jesus being the way. Let's talk about Jesus being the truth. Jesus is pure truth. And he is the saving truth. He is pure saving truth. Man is lost in sin. Man is guilty and condemned. Man is depraved, deceitful, and unable to save himself. He's hopeless and he's wretched. He's filthy and lost. And this is the truth. But the truth that comes into this darkness of the truth of our being so at enmity with God, the truth that comes into this darkness is even higher truth than our lost condition. Because our lost condition doesn't have to be forever. But that truth of his salvation is forever. Amen? And so, that is a higher truth, that the true and only Savior from sin is Jesus Christ. And once you come to him, that nullifies the truth of you being lost forever, of you being a sinner forever. Once we come to Christ, does God call us sinners anymore? No, because His righteousness is imputed to our account. He took our sins on Himself and gave us His righteousness. So God sees us in His Son, acceptable, beloved, perfect in His Son. 1 John 5:20, talking about Jesus being truth, it says here, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Four times in the verse, one verse, talking about Jesus being the true God and eternal life. He that is true, He who is truly God. Jesus Christ is the most essential truth. All truth is not of the same importance, but Jesus is the central, all-pervading truth. You can know the truth about molars and bicuspids and retinas and eardrums. You can know all about that. But it's not the same essential, vital, eternal truth. Other truths may affect your life, may affect your comforts, your luxuries, or your personal freedoms. But the truth of Christ affects your soul, your conscience, your character, and your eternity. For all things were created by Him and for Him, and by Him all things consist and have their being. You can't say that about any other truth. You can't say about any other truth except Jesus that we must all appear before His judgment seat. You see what I mean by the essential truth, the all-pervading truth, compared to all other truths. Jesus is the truth that exposes and rebukes the world's deceptions. The first temptation was a lie, and ever since then, man has been deceived. Ever since that day, fact became fable, truth became tales, philosophy became futile, and man's imagination and understanding became blinded to the truth of God. Until Jesus invaded the darkness and confronted all its delusions and said, "I am the truth." Amen. Today, sinful men want to pervert the gospel, but we have the words of Christ which say, "I am the truth." Jesus is the almighty truth. If the truth of Christ had not been almighty, it would never have survived the world's sinful, vicious attacks against it. But the anvil of God's truth in Christ has worn out and broken all the hammers that beat against it over the years. Jesus remains the truth. He remains the almighty, everlasting truth of God. And to close, Jesus is the life. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. Jesus Christ is the life of all nature. He opens His hand and satisfies all living things. By Him all things consist and have their being. But more than just that, which is the great mystery that science can never explain, what is life? They can describe that life is motion or life is energy, but there are things that move and there are things that produce energy that we wouldn't consider life. Stones produce energy. They're full of molecules that are racing about. The protons are racing around the electron or the neutron, whatever's in the middle. It's full of life. It's full of energy, we would say, but it's not full of life. One stone doesn't give birth to another stone and cherish that stone and bring food to that stone. Right? So we have a different feeling when we pass by a stone in the road than we pass by a dead deer or someone's pet. So all life is not the same, correct? Mm-hmm. By Him all things consist and have their being, but more than that, Jesus is the resurrection, the life of our spiritual nature. He does that to us when He saves us as a foretaste of what He'll do for us in the day of the resurrection. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So Jesus said, I am the life. He is the giver of life. Heaven is full of glorious life. They do not rest day or night in heaven saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Not only human beings who have been saved and washed in the blood, but all kinds of glorious and heavenly creatures we can't even imagine. They say to Him, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The world full of life. Wherever we go, we find life in the fields, the sky, the seas, from the north to the south poles. It is Jesus who gives life to all these things. I like watching the things about how God has created things. And how in Antarctica, if you know where to look, you'll find life. How in the North Pole, if you know where to look, you'll find life. How even in the Himalayas, there's the snow leopard and the winter fox. And they have this whole ecosystem that had to be created at the same time. The plants, depending on the animals, it's like in the Sonoran Desert. There's a cactus that only blooms at night. And the only way its pollen can travel is by bats. And those bats happen to arrive at just the moments those blossoms are opening. The bats and the cactus had to be there together at the same time. Otherwise, the cactus nor the bats could survive, because the bats depend on that food, and the cactus depend upon those bats. It's in the area of biodiversity that a lot of these scientists have realized there must be a God. There's a great designer. This little rat depends on this little thing over here that depends on this over here that depends on this over here. And there's no way they could survive or evolve or be here unless they were all here at the same time, with the same amount of days. They had to be here together. If you take the tram up from Palm Springs up to the top there, you know that tram they have there? Do you know you will go through 6 ecosystems as you go up? The diversity of life that is in each of those ecosystems is independent from the other, but interdependent within itself. That's amazing. But we're talking about not temporal life. We're talking about an eternal, joyful, blissful, ecstatic, powerful, immortal life. Jesus is the pattern of life. How are we to live? Like Jesus? Jesus said, follow me. Amen. Amen. Learning to write. You know, they're getting ready to give up cursive writing. In fact, they've already given up in a lot of schools right now, because the kids are doing what? Mm-hmm. And cursive writing is becoming a lost art in the United States. How many of you knew that? Yeah, they're giving up on it in schools. They're going digital, I guess. But you know what? As you begin to write, it's slow. It's tedious. It hurts your hands. But the more you practice and the more you practice, the easier it gets, the faster it gets, and you can do a lot more of it before your hand starts getting tired. And so it is with following Christ. It's hard at first as a baby Christian. It's hard at first to claim the promises, to trust in Him in spite of persecution, to have joy and smile even when you don't feel like it, because you want to show the love of Christ to others. But the more you follow Him, the more you walk with Him, the opposition doesn't get any lighter. But the trust runs deeper. The faith is there. And it becomes more and more, no, I wouldn't say easier, but more and more in motion to follow Christ. The application is quickly here. There are things temporary or symbolic. There are things that are types and shadows. But Jesus is the fulfillment and the substance. You know, we eat bread, we drink water. In the Jesus' day, the water had been contaminated and it had microbes, so they would have drank wine. But Jesus said, I am the true bread from heaven. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The other will pass away, but if you eat me, if you drink me, that's forever. All things have been created through him and for him. He's creation's definition. He is creation's final purpose. When you see a road from one place to another, remember it is a picture of Jesus being our way from hell to heaven. Secondly, you cannot find God without Christ. You cannot truly know anything if you don't know Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the Lord's name is Jesus. There is no true life until you believe in him. You are only truly living as you are alive in the Son of God. There is only one way to heaven, but that one way is open for you. This exclusive way is inclusive for you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can come to the Father if you come through him. Let's pray. Father, we pray you bless the message to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that not only did you change our lives, but you changed them not by a rule or a church or a man or things we do, but through a love affair with your Son, through a vital living relationship to him who spoke all things into existence and gave his life for our sins. In his sweet and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. If Brother Victor, you would come forward to receive our offering. Thank you, Brother.